life today.
Just when you thought it couldn't get any more ridiculous, there's a train operator who thought it would be kosher to let his 8-year-old drive the subway. Well, at least he wasn't texting, right? Sonia Sotomayor passes one hurdle. We'll tell you all about that. As for the Democrats, wow, a Democratic House and Senate and a Democrat in the White House, but no vote before the recess on health care reform because Friday is knocking pretty fast. I just don't see how that happens. We know the Senate's not going to be able to get it done. Doubtful the House will be able to do it either. That's where we start. In fact, coming up in another 10 minutes here in America Tonight, we're going to talk to one of my favorite guests, Martin Haugill. He is the executive director of the Institute for Health Technology Studies. This cat knows where it's at, and he can tell us, how does this affect all of us? What does it mean for the future of our health care? Are we going to get lousy health care as a result of some of the things we're talking about, or is there a chance it'll be better health care? Barack Obama is holding town hall meetings. He held another one of those and talked about that very thing. Why do we need health care reform? Here's what he had to say.
I've already mentioned that health care costs are going up much faster than inflation. Right? So your wages, your income, if you're lucky right now, maybe they're going up 2% a year, maybe 3% a year. For a lot of people, they're not going up at all because the economy is in tough shape. But your health care costs are still going up 6% a year, 7% a year. Some people are getting notices in their mail. Their premium just went up 20%. On that trajectory, healthcare costs will probably double again. Your premiums will probably double again over the next 10 years. They may even go up faster than that. The costs of Medicare are going to keep on rising a lot faster than tax revenues coming in, which means that the trust fund, you got more money going out than is coming in, which makes that more unstable. And we know that if we do nothing, we will probably end up seeing more people uninsured. We're already seeing 14,000 people lose their health insurance every day. 14,000 people. So the costs of doing nothing are trillions of dollars in costs over the next couple of decades. Trillions, not billions, but trillions of dollars in costs without anybody getting any better care. So what we've said is, if we can control healthcare inflation, how fast costs are going up, then not only can we stabilize the Medicare trust fund, not only can we help save families money on their premiums, but we can actually afford to provide coverage to the people who currently don't have healthcare.
All right, not everybody agrees with Obama because, as I've said on this show, we need some more specifics on it. What happens with this whole employer deal? Has that been thrown out? What I heard is it's off the table. If that's true, that's one thing that I think is good. What does it mean to the individual and what they have to pay? And also, we know the public option, as it was first presented, it's not going to work because you already have doctors who can't afford the malpractice insurance. They're all going to scatter, and the best doctors are going to leave the business, and the others will hang on by their fingernails because why would they compete with somebody who's a doc giving out the public option? It would cause, I think, the system to collapse. Here's what Senator Charles Grassley, a Republican from Iowa, had to say as to why he doesn't like it in its current form.
It will not include an employer mandate. It will have more competition for our health insurance companies so that there's more competition, but it's going to be done through a cooperative as opposed to a government-owned and regulated insurance company that would be a very unfair competition with crowd outs that would eventually do away with private health insurance. Now, we're making progress by inches. A lot of people wonder how long it's going to take. It's difficult to say how long it's going to take. We're hoping to get a bill out of committee yet before we go for summer break, August the 7th. We may not make it, and if we don't make it, people might wonder, well, what's taking so long? But we're talking about life and death issues here for the American population. We're restructuring health care, and it seems to me it ought to be done in a very considerate way, not rush through, because we're finding so much wrong with the House bill, for instance, that came out. And I'll just give you one example. After 5 years, self-funded programs that big companies have, and they're protected by the ERISA laws passed in 1974, it does away with that protection. So the president's promise that if you want to keep the insurance that you've had, and that's a promise he made in the election, after 5 years, that'll be no longer be true. So we've got to take some time to study some of these other bills, and that's why Senator Baucus and I are not rushing this.
All right, see, so I agree with him. He said that's why he's not rushing this, and that's what I said. What is the race now to suddenly make this happen when it's so half-assed? There's no way to sugarcoat that. You have to have it where it makes sense, at least going into it. You know it would have to be tweaked anyway, right? So the idea that you don't have the employer mandate is a good one, and that, of course, is something that Grassley talked about, and also the co-op instead of the public option, because that would just make a lot of the good doctors flee. Here's the deal. If you don't like some of the things you're hearing, how many times do I say this on America Tonight? It's power to the people, baby. You live in a country. You enjoy freedoms because of our founding fathers. That means you have elected reps. They represent you. You put them into office. So you just got to call, ring, ring, ring. Send them an email. Send them a letter. Imagine writing a letter. Any of those things, and let them know how you feel about the health care bill, and make sure, and certainly we will on this show, let you know what it's going to cost, what are the exact parameters of the bill. In other words, if you work for an employer and they can't afford it, that was the scary thing about the employer mandate, and then it's forced upon them, well, then what happens? The jig is up and you lose your job and the place goes belly up. Honestly, there would be a good chance of that in some of these small, small businesses who are just trying to make it, and they know they can't afford health care. They can't afford it for themselves. So if these things are changed, which it sounds like this is kind of the direction it's headed in, I say cautiously, because still the payment issue is the big thing. Where do you get the money? How are you really, really going to get the money to pay for what needs to be paid for? What Obama said in his town hall meeting, one of the things he talked about is there's too much paper waste. And we would all agree that's true. You go to a doctor, they don't know where your records are. You're someone like me, or you've moved around different places, so you've had different doctors, and then they want to get the information from the other doctor, and it becomes a paper shuffle, even for the simplest of things. So there's been talk about digitized records. So that can be scary, too, thinking of who can get a hold of the records. But let's just say you have it digitized. It will still cost a fortune to have all those records go through an IT person and be digitized. So that means more money up front. That's one of the things Obama talked about. But he says it's more savings on the back end. But the problem is, brother, we don't have a lot of money on the front end. Coming up next, the man who knows all about this, Martin Haugill, joins us, the executive director of the Institute for Health Technology. That's on the flip side here on America Tonight.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi. Summer's coming, and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This three-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
Hi, this is John Swenson again at Midas Resources, and let me ask just one question. What would you list as the things that the federal government does really well? The armed forces and printing bogus money doesn't count. Now take that blank page of yours and list the ways that you have to protect your assets and escape the paper markets. The only real option is precious metals. For your retirement, your kids' education, or just plain survival when the whole Obama mess comes crashing down. You are the only one you can count on for a stimulus package. And I'd like to discuss a proven strategy to create that safety net for you and your family. Please give me a call at 800-686-2237, extension 128. That's 800-686-2237, extension 128. And together we can develop a Make Sense program before the clock runs out. Once more, John Swenson at 800-686-2237, extension 128. And take charge of your future, and thank you.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
House Democrats are saying not so fast. That's what Nancy Pelosi said anyway as she came out of a closed-door meeting later in the evening. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Martin Haugill joins us now. He's the executive director of the Institute for Health Technology Studies, one of my favorite guests we've had on a couple of different times. He knows how to cut through the crap. Hey, Martin, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine, thank you. I appreciate that description.
All right, let's. One of the things that Obama said, I'm going to ask you this. He said, listen, we're going to find a way to, he's doing these town hall meetings. He said, we're going to find a way to make this happen. We're going to find a way to pay for this. But we're going to have to put some money out in front of this, especially when it comes to technology. But in the end, it'll save us a ton of money. And the one thing he specifically pointed to was digitized records. Instead of having a paper trail all over the place when you've been to different doctors or you've moved around, you've had different doctors, whatever the circumstances are, that there would just be this digitized record that everyone would have. It would cut out a lot of the waste, a lot of the paper waste, and, of course, money waste, and it would save time. Do you think it would be easy to make that a reality?
I don't think it would be easy to do it, or I think we would have already done it, but I do think it's a worthy goal. Not only does it save time and money and unnecessary complexity and the patient having to fill out a form five times with the same information, all of that, it will greatly, greatly help in two ways. One is it will help reduce medical errors because people will have a complete record, not a series of parts of a record. And secondly, it's going to help researchers be able to look at what's going on and what's working and what isn't working. So I think there's real value to doing it. Doing it won't be easy, though.
And obviously it's not easy with this whole health care reform. Where do you stand on this as you hear all the things that are going around? Of course, there is no definite measure yet. There's 1,000 pages and 1,000 different thoughts. There was the talk of the public option, and now they're saying co-op plus, obviously, private doctors. Can that work? Can it work with the co-op and the private doctors? Because I don't know with the public option how that would work, because I think that hurts competition, right, and would ultimately hurt doctors.
Well, there's a lot of ideas you've wrapped up in one question there, and let me take them, if I can remember, one at a time. The co-op thing, I think, actually is an interesting and innovative idea in and of itself. We've had cooperatives in other spheres of the economy for decades, I don't think they're necessarily, a bad thing. And they might be a very good way for us to deliver care to the people that are currently uninsured or that are poor and can't afford good insurance. I don't think the world comes to an end if we have a public option. I'm not a huge fan of it, but the bottom line is that there seems to be a lot of pressure from President Obama. He wants this to happen. There can be a lot of political fighting over it, but we've got to remember that we have public options right now. Mm. They're called Medicare, Medicaid, the VA administration. Those are public options. As I said, the world's not going to come to an end if we have one more, if it competes on a level playing field. And I think that's really the key to this. And if it does compete on a level playing field and the private companies compete with it, I think that makes everybody better. And I think that that's sort of the premise behind this. I mean, America is a country that delivers all of its services to people, virtually all of its services to people, in a spirit of competition. We don't have one provider of food or fast food. We don't have one provider of hotel services, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We have a lot of competition. And I think that's healthy.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. I mean, that's capitalism, and that's competition, and that's what you get, and that's how the United States has grown, obviously, for the 233 years, so we're on the same page with that.
Right.
But what about technology? Because you're in that business. What ultimately is the role that technology will play in, I'm going to say, this reducing costs? We just talked about one of the things. And also helping patients get the best overall health care, because, Martin, that's what everybody's worried about.
Yeah, and I think that we should be a little concerned as health care reform unfolds and we start to see huge costs that come as a result. If that reduces the flow of innovative medical technologies, then I think we've hurt ourselves. We should embrace medical technology as part of the solution, really, not part of the problem. Your listeners, I think, need to understand that medical science and technology are making us healthier than we've ever been before. We live longer than ever before. We have fewer disabilities. We're more productive economically. Spending on healthcare, it really is a sound investment for us personally in terms of our lives and our families, as well as for the economy. And medical devices and diagnostics, the areas that we're interested in, are very, very competitive industries that continue to turn out stunning streams of innovations. That they reduce length of stay in the hospital, they cut the time spent in intensive care settings, they're moving patients to one-day stays or to doctor's offices, they're getting back to work or to their families sooner. I mean, all of this is at relatively less cost per case, but the problem is the volume of health care is rising because the population has increased to, 300 million plus, and we're more obese than we ever were, and the baby boomers are now getting into their age where they start to face major health issues and all these kinds of things. But, thanks to medical technology, we can do so much more than we ever have been able to do before for people.
And, speaking of that, then the other thing is, and this really hasn't been talked about a lot, we see the job numbers are horrible, almost 10% unemployment. But I would think the other side of this is, when you talk about spending money on health care, just to be pro on this side of it, there would obviously be money that would be pumped back into the economy, right?
No question about it. The focus has been, in all of this conversation, about how much of our GDP is spent on health care. But people overlook how much of GDP is made possible by health care. It's a well understood and recognized fact that the healthier the society, the more productive it is. And healthcare has made stunning strides. Technology has contributed significantly to that. And the result is that we are more productive. We live longer than we ever have before. The average life expectancy today for a woman is 81 years. Men, I think it's a little less because we have such a heavy burden to bear. That was an attempt at humor, late night.
I liked it, yes.
But the average, I think, now, what is it, 78 or 79? I've forgotten, to be truthful. But anyway, the point is, it's longer than it's ever been before. And all of this is the result of the advances that we've made, and they're very significant. We shouldn't lose sight of that.
Yeah, I agree. It's funny you say the thing about make the crack about men. My grandfather turns 93 tomorrow.
Attaboy.
Yeah, and
happy
he's in assisted living. Yeah, he's got his own apartment, everything, and health
and
support.
That's great. That's great. I think we're going to see more and more of that. I think that I'm part of the baby boom generation. I think our generation and younger generations, if they can avoid obesity and all of the things that go with it, will be living well into their hundreds.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. Hey, you're involved with In Health, obviously. And when I said I was talking about you coming on the show, people want to know what In Health is. And I know you're not surprised about that. What does that mean? And, of course, we're talking about the Institute for Health Technologies. Explain what you do.
Well, what we do is we try to invest funds with major universities around the country for their faculty to do studies of how the socioeconomic effects of medical technology. We don't look so much at the clinical effects because there's already lots and lots of research done on that in order to get FDA approval and so forth. Lots of clinical studies are done. But the real question is, what difference is it making? And it's an area that we think should be studied a lot more. As you may know, there's been $1.1 billion of the stimulus package that has been dedicated to comparative effectiveness research. And that's good. That's going to give good clinical data to doctors and patients to make better decisions for how the care is, or the best care for them, or the best diagnostic procedure for them. But what we are currently talking about is healthcare reform. Healthcare reform is different from clinical care. Clinical care is a part of the healthcare system, but there's all the insurance aspects that we were talking about earlier with the medical records, and the whole array of how we set up healthcare and deliver it in the country is a system. Now, what we don't have is much data about how all of that works, and we need to be looking much more closely at the effects of these devices and other therapies that are involved in care. You put a new hip in somebody. I don't know if your grandfather's had any artificial bits and pieces implanted or not, but many people now are mobile and keeping their legs pumping and their lungs and their hearts pumping and living many, many years longer thanks to implantable technologies. And this is really not understood how that has a social effect and an economic effect, allowing people to be with their families, allowing them possibly to work longer, maybe not requiring someone to stay home with them to look after them, allowing them to live independently. You said your grandfather was in an apartment, which is fabulous. In many cases, these advanced medical capabilities are enabling huge social and economic consequences that we need to understand better before we meddle too much with them.
Yeah, I agree. It's terrific the work that you do. Marty, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much for hanging late with us on America Tonight.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me back.
All right, coming up next.
If you'd like to quit smoking regular cigarettes and try a revolutionary new alternative, this might be the most important message you will ever hear. PremiumeCigarette.com brings you the electronic cigarette. It looks like a cigarette. It feels and tastes like a cigarette. And even delivers nicotine like a cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, it doesn't deliver toxic chemicals and tar into your lungs or discolor your teeth. The Premium e-cigarette has no flame or ashes, and you can smoke it anywhere, even where cigarettes are not permitted. Because the vapor you exhale is only water, not dangerous secondhand smoke. You've tried the gum. You've tried the patch. You've tried cold turkey. Now it's time to try the Premium e-cigarette. By doing so, you will save 60 to 75% over regular cigarettes. If you'd like to learn more, visit PremiumeCigarette.com. That's Premium, the letter E, Cigarette.com. PremiumeCigarette.com. Or call 866-242-9210. That's 866-242-9210 today.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
If the current state of the economy is severely impacting your life, this might be some of the most important information you will ever hear. As the economy continues to spiral out of control, many people, just like you, wonder how they will support their family and pay their bills. The government is not going to help out the people who desperately need it. It's time for you to look outside the box and change your life. If you're tired of the get-rich-quick schemes, if you're tired of living paycheck to paycheck, if you're tired of being tired, you need to pick up Robert Beadle's new book, and it's called Here's What You Do. Yes, Here's What You Do. The 72-page book will show you what you need to do to make the best of an economy that's in the middle of a recession. And the best part? This revolutionary book is priced under $10 and is only $6 for the ebook. Here's What You Do to get Here's What You Do. Visit hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Hereswhatyoudo.net. And start changing your life today.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grapeseed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
On this show, hey everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, coast to coast and everywhere in between. I'm the captain of this ship full of ADD people, including myself and many of you. Who isn't these days? Well, the Senate Judiciary Committee approved the nomination of federal judge Sonia Sotomayor to become the first of Hispanic Supreme Court justice. Now, of course, you have to have the final confirmation vote by the Senate. Apparently, a lot of Republicans aren't going to vote yay on this one. But for the committee, the first hurdle, 13-6, that was the vote. Partisan lines, of course, Lindsey Graham, the only one who hopped over the other side of the fence, the Republican from South Carolina. Senator Charles Grassley said for the first time in decades, he just could not vote yes for Sotomayor.
Well, nobody is going to disagree with the fact that she's qualified and got a good academic background. And in fact, it was a tough vote for me because this is the first time in 29 years that I voted against a Republican or Democrat nominee to the Supreme Court. But I did it this time. And so then to answer your question, because all of these good qualifications are very basic, but We want somebody on the Supreme Court that's going to interpret law and not make law. And let me explain that it's my job to make law, because you can vote me out of office if you don't like the law I make. But judges should be restricted to interpreting the law, for the reason that they have a lifetime appointment. In other words, that means that she has to keep her personal biases out of it. And you've got to realize that over a course of 15 years as a judge, she's made a lot of statements that have raised a lot of concerns about whether she can leave her personal views out of a case that she's got to decide.
He went on to say, and I thought this was a good clarification, that it wasn't so much about the speeches bothering him. It wasn't the reference about the wise Latino woman or any of that stuff. It had more to do with the law, her interpretation of the law itself.
Well, I looked at her record as well as her speeches, and I think that as I look at that record, I don't find the respect for the constitutional right to private property. I don't find the respect for the fundamental right of owning a gun that's already been defined by the Supreme Court as a federal right. I find fault with a lot of decisions she made, that she has not made an in-depth justification for those decisions. And one of those was a personal property case where I think she cited the Kelo Supreme Court case in Connecticut wrong, and then the rationale behind the Rishi case, the New Haven policeman case recently overturned by the Supreme Court. And then you got to remember that 8 out of 10 of her cases that have been gone to the Supreme Court have been overturned by the Supreme Court, and in one other one they expressed outright disagreement with her, even though they affirmed the decision. So I think there's enough evidence that she is going to use the position of a Supreme Court for personal views, or maybe reading the Constitution in a way that denies certain personal rights.
All right, so again, next week that moves to the full vote, and we'll see what happens there, but I think it's pretty much lock, stock, and barrel, a done deal. Kathy in Kalamazoo is listening to us. Always good to talk to Kathy. How are you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
You've been working a lot.
Well, you want to know, sad thing is, you know, I worked for a small family practice, and I was their medical transcriptionist. Well, with what's been going on with the economy, you know, we were just having a real hard time, and so we were bought out by a large, you know, healthcare corporation, which is a very good corporation. It's just I'm not a corporation person, and I'm trying to get used. I mean, they made me go on days. I've worked nights for 35 years, and now I'm trying to figure out how to stay awake. And I asked them why I just couldn't just leave me alone, let me do my work, because they wouldn't have any control over me.
And I told her, that's the idea in corporate America.
And I said, the last person to try to control me, I divorced, you know? But, you know, anyway, I thought, well, I haven't talked to you in a long time. And guess who? I talked to Pete, you know, Kalamazoo Pete, the guy that calls in once in a while.
Yes, did you have lunch with him?
We met up and we had a nice lunch, and just the sweetest guy in the whole world. And, you know, it was just really refreshing. We sat down and talked politics and bitched and moaned about all the stuff going on. And it was just really, really nice.
Perfect.
So, and you know, like I say, if you read my email, I sent you, you know, I mean, yeah. I'm starting to, you know, dig into the side of my property, so at least, you know, I'll have something to call my own I can afford. But isn't this, I mean, it's gotten to be so ridiculous. And as far as the health care things that are going on, I don't know if anybody has read those pages 425 to 450. I have, and it's frightening. I don't want someone to tell me, you know, about my end of life or make me make decisions when I'm 30 years old about something that's going to happen to me when I'm 80, when I may have changed my mind.
Right. And you know what, Kathy, I'm glad you brought that up. That's something that people don't realize. That's another part of it, because the one way you could save in health care, the thought is you make your decision on not dragging out and getting treatment, et cetera, at the wherever you are at whatever point in your life. Like you said, someone to tell you what the end of your life will look like, because you won't get that medical care. You won't keep getting care all the way through. And they do this in other places, like England, for example.
Right,
so they,
right.
So you're not spending a bunch of money on all kinds of second opinions and other doctors. But I agree with you. I think it's freaky.
Well, then, you know, then another thing, you know, Rahm Emanuel's brother is one of the healthcare advisors to the president. Well, I don't know if you've ever read any of his writings, but he believes that, you know, I mean, they should put sterolytics in the water to keep, you know, for control of the population. He believes that anybody who is no longer a functioning member of society contributing should be cut off of all medical care, and that you shouldn't treat any babies that are born with any diseases or deficiencies or any kind of problems, that they should just be, you know, just let them die. You know, I mean, this is the kind of people that, and then when Obama was talking about taking the little blue pill and taking the little red pill,
mm-hmm.
well, which one of those little pills is your euthanasia pill, or was he talking about Viagra, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, it's gotten to be, if people would just listen to what is being said, it's frightening. It is so frightening. I don't want my records out there electronically.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to know that my bank or someone else who might have a buddy somewhere can go in and look to see what my medical record is, see if they're going to give me a loan. You know, or, I mean, there's other things that could possibly go on there.
Right,
not
and the problem with that is what they'll tell you about the digitized, because we just talked to somebody about
right.
that.
Right, I was listening, yeah.
Is that if you have a digitized record, well, geez, it makes it easier. But the problem is what you just said. Who has access to the records, and what does that influence?
Right, well, see, we have to sign an agreement, you know, of course, anybody in the healthcare field, that you will not disclose any information, you know, about any patient. And, you know, I mean, that's all well and good, but they're finding out now one of the largest, you know, one of the largest areas of population that are getting their identities stolen is the healthcare industry.
Right, of course, because,
you know,
somebody's in there pecking away at it, they're hacking in. And plus, like you say, you've signed this confidentiality thing, but then why is it with all the movie stars and everybody else at Cedars-Sinai, all their information is released?
Is out there. Well, talking about that other situation, you know, say, for instance, I'm, you know, your intake clerk or whatever, and I've got access to everything I need to know about you to hack you out. I mean, completely, you know, I mean, If I want to take your information and get, you know, I mean, I've got your Social Security number. I mean, I've got everything there is to know about you. And maybe I'm not the most honest person working there, you know, or what, or somebody makes me an offer. Hey, why don't you get me, you know, 300 reports and I'll give you $1,000. With the economy the way it is right now, God only knows.
Right.
But we just got a big thing across, you know, that came across from HQ. About, you know, the theft of identities and HIPAA, you know, we have to take a test on our
sure.
knowledge of the HIPAA laws and all this happy horse stuff, but it happens. And, you know, I mean, we have this thing, you know, in our, you know, this new corporation, you know, you're supposed to sign up and people can write nice things about you and you get points and yet, and I wouldn't sign up for it. And they said, why not? I said, I don't want my information out there. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to register for some silly-ass little, you know, program. And, I, you know, in here, you know, I think they wanted to fire me, but they can't, you know.
I love that. Hey,
but,
always, always interesting to talk to you, Kathy. And you're right about and you know, you're in the healthcare profession, so you know what you're talking about. And that is my concern. I think the idea of digitized records, for example, is good, but the problem is you can't enforce it, and the problem is, people will hack in, people will sell the records, and then other people may use that health information against you.
Remember that theory of unintended consequences I sent
yep.
you that one time?
Yes.
You know, it's all sort of fallen into line. And then, you know, like I say, I'm going to be 60 this year. This is going to be my big year. And I haven't, you know, and I'm sitting here trying to decide whether I should take a vacation or not, or whether I shouldn't spend any money or not, or, you know, I mean, why should I be in this position right now in my life when I should be enjoying myself? And I'm sitting here thinking, man, if I spend that $20, what's going to happen in 3 weeks, you know?
Exactly, and so many other people find themselves in that same spot. Kathy, thanks. We'll talk to you soon. You take care. 800-259-5791. That's the number to jingle. You can sound off on healthcare reform or some of the other things that we've been talking about, like Sonia Sotomayor. I think it's a done deal, though. So almost wasted space to talk about that. Hang with us.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh. Healthy. Easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396. 866-598-7396.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and help us win this battle.
It'll make sure we bring down the cost of health care for all Americans, and that ensures affordable access for all Americans, and is pro-life because it will not put seniors in a position of being put to death by their government.
All right, that was Virginia Fox weighing in on the floor. And what we were just talking about with Kathy in Michigan, the decision of, okay, your time is up, your number's up, we're not going to prolong this any longer. Talking a little bit about health care reform and some other things in between. Kate, hanging with you here on ATN, 800-259-5791. Tomas in the great state of Michigan. Hey, Tomas.
Wow, Michigan is just showing up tonight, isn't it?
No kidding. Big and bold.
Are you still in Hawaii?
I am back in the mainland.
Oh, poor you. Well, anyway, I just called up because I disagree with the guest that you had on. You know, he was saying that the health industry has made things so much better for Americans. But, you know, I mean, I go down the road and there are just so many doctors and so many nurses and so many hospitals. In this country, you would think everybody had cancer and you know, a broken bone. And what is the lifespan? The man said around 80.
Right.
But if you look at Genesis, the first book in the Bible, Genesis 6:3, it says you're going to live to 120, and that's it. You go to Wikipedia, and guess what? The oldest person ever, 122. So I don't see the big increase in, you know, I'm thinking we should be up to like 180 by now with all these doctors, you know, and they have specialist doctors, not just a doctor. You got, in the old days, you know, you had a doctor that did everything. Now you got a doctor for the ear, one for the elbow, you know, one for the facial tissue and the plastics and then the skin cancer. Oh man, they make money on that. So I just, I think there's a lot of extra fat in that health industry, and
well, that's part of the problem. Part of the that's true. How many doctors versus the old family doctor, like you say, that you used to have that you could rely on that knew you? But you know what, Tomas, the old family doctor is getting chased out of the business because they can't afford the malpractice insurance. The plastic surgeons, the specialists who have overflowing patients in their waiting rooms are the ones making the cash that can afford more the malpractice and all that other sort of stuff. So,
well, you talk about malpractice, I'll tell you what if they pass this, the next shoe to drop will be the 12 or how many million illegal immigrants in this country are going to say, hey, what about us? And, you know.
Well, they'll get it. That's the problem. Part of the problem is what they're saying is, oh, well, the money's being passed on to you because when they stumble into hospitals and you don't have insurance, ultimately that cost gets pushed onto us. That's why part of why our premiums go up because
of the uninsured. The secret to that is that when an illegal comes into the country, they still have to pay sales. They have to pay taxes to the federal government through like the employer has to pay to the federal government the employee tax, right? And things like they pay federal taxes on wherever if they buy an item. But when they get in trouble in jail, the state is taking care of them. When their kids go to school, it's the state that pays cost. And when they get sick, it's the state hospital. So the federal government sees the illegal immigrants as a golden egg because they're getting money from them, but they don't have to pay the cost. And guess who controls the border? The federal government.
Right. Oh, of course. That's why everybody is afraid to move on illegal immigration. You saw what happened, how it exploded a couple of years ago. And for all the Tom Tancredos, there are very few of Tom Tancredos that will stand up and say, well, this is crap and this is wrong and why should we be footing the bill and we need to rectify this situation versus the amnesty thing. A lot of people are afraid to stand up and say that.
Yeah,
elected officials, not people, elected officials.
Well, listen, Kate, welcome back to America, and talk to you later.
All right, thanks. Tomas, of course, I was in America, but I was on the mainland. I was in Maui. Dave is listening to us in Michigan. Hey, Dave.
Hi there, Kate.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. Do you want to weigh in on health care?
Yeah, I did. Just what Kathy was talking about, the EMR, electronic medical record. I work for the same organization, I think, in Kalamazoo, and I have to work in information technology, and I agree with Kathy. It is pretty risky putting that stuff out there.
Well, yeah, because what we're saying is, see, on one side, I like it because it is ridiculous, the paperwork. I know I've gone through it because of moving around so much and having different doctors versus my family doctor back in Philly. But the other side of me knows, and I've been a victim of this, I went to Ohio University, got a letter in the mail. Oh, our system's been hacked into. Your information's been compromised. And all that was my Social Security number. It wasn't medical records. So imagine the danger with medical records and the way things get so bungled. Do you really trust that that won't happen with the records?
Yeah, definitely. It's nice. You know, I agree with you 100%. It's nice to have it in a way. If you're out of town and you get hurt, then they've got your records there right away. But, geez, you know, in the same note, you're still putting it out there, and those hackers can get into anything. And,
yeah, it's risky. It's risky,
yeah.
And you and Kathy know because you're in the business, so you're telling us. These two people that work in the business that don't feel confident about it, that certainly says something to me. Dave, thanks for the call.
Yeah. Hey, thank you. Bye.
All right, let's move to Texas. Dana in Texas, hello.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Well, fine, I guess. I was listening in to some of your callers, and I just wanted to share where I got a hold of the bill, 1,018 pages in its entirety. I don't know if you've seen the whole bill, if you've been able to even find it. It took me a while this afternoon.
Yeah, it's online. You can get it.
Yeah, yeah. And I got it at Horatio's Perspective, House Bill H.R. 3200. That's the number of the bill. And, of course, like all documents the government produces, it's this is worse, I think, than the Medicare Part D plan that they came out with in 2006 because you can't logically just read straight through it. You have to jump around and go to subsections and all kinds of mumbo jumbo.
Right.
And I feel like as far as you're talking about the electronic system, and Kathy was talking about that. I walked out of a doctor's office here in South Fort Worth about a year and a half ago because they wanted to do that, and it instantly hit me between the eyes of and just who exactly is going to have access to this all this computer information that they share with Baylor in this system, in this doctor's office, in a building next to Baylor Southwest. So I walked out. I canceled the apartment, and I got back all the documents I had given them and copies of my driver's license and my Medicare card, and I left because I have enough of a background to know that because I brought up the thing actually with the office manager. I said, anybody anymore can hack into these computer systems, and I don't like this
right,
at all.
And they know what's going on, yeah.
Yeah, and I just feel like some of this that I have read, I don't know what Kathy read, but the part of it referring to Medicare, Medicaid people and elderly, et cetera, and having to have their being brought in if you're on Medicare, Social Security over 5 years to discuss your life and your well-being.
Right.
I don't have a problem with that to a point. I kind of believe and have for a very long time about euthanasia. I feel like we are kinder than to dogs or animals than we are to humans. If you are an elderly human or a person that is so sick, there's no way to make you better. I mean, and you're suffering, you're in comas, you don't even know your family members.
Right, right.
I feel like that's torture, and I feel like you should have the right to decide if you want to end your life. Now, I don't know where the government is going with this. It kind of makes me shake and think of Hitler. And what was
I think they're gonna. I think the euthanasia thing is way down the road because you saw obviously what happened to Kevorkian, and ultimately he ended up doing some jail time. And you make a good point about being more humane to animals, but the problem, you know, ultimately lies in that. You can decide not to resuscitate. You already have that right.
Right.
If something happens to you. But it should be at that point, I agree with you. It should be the individual's choice, and we don't have that quite yet. You made some good points. Thanks, Dana, for the call. Keep going through that. I've got a copy of it as well. It takes forever. That's what he said. It's all gobbledygook. No surprise there. Hey, how about this? I happened to see this ad. Democrats wasted $787 billion on a failed stimulus plan. Do you trust them with $1.5 trillion to fix health care? Stop reckless spending. Support the NRSC, the National Republican Senatorial Committee. That's where that came from. Food for thought.
This constant bickering is going to put me in a coma.
But I said, I don't care if they lay me off either, because I told Bill that if they move my desk one more time, then I'm quitting. I'm going to quit.